He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the August 17th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson. We've got a pretty good start here to the day to begin a new week with Dow futures right now looking up by 109 points as we close in on 28,000. S&P futures up 16. That's even better from a percentage point of view. That's almost a half a percent. The S&P is chasing and very close to its all-time high. In the meantime, NASDAQ futures doing best of all. Looks like they've resumed their leadership. You know, they will trail the cyclicals for a week or several days or a week or two, but it seems like that they always come back to those growth stocks of the NASDAQ. NASDAQ futures up 92 this morning. That's going to put it over 11,000 once again. Russell 2000 futures up 6. That's a 0.4%. Little quiet in the small caps here today. Crude oil down 11 cents. 41.90. And what in the name of Warren Buffett? He is buying a gold stock, and that probably is boosting gold here this morning. Gold up $19.20 per ounce. 1969. Where were you in 1969? That's where gold is today. It's up 1%. Silver, man, that's a volatile trade. That thing is up 4.8% today. Try that silver 3X ETF. That's a wild thing. Silver is up $1.25 per ounce this morning to $27.34. And the bond market, which has seen a sell-off recently, seeing a little buying here today, 0.68 on the 10-year. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, starting off the week on a very strong futures note. We'll see if that holds up. But really looking good on the NASDAQ, looking good on the S&P 500 as it's chasing an all-time high. You got a little lift under gold here this morning. News that Buffett, Warren Buffett, buying into Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D, and gold is up 1%. Silver up 4.85%. That is a wild thing, is that silver trade. Well, before we get started on a new day, let's go back to see how we ended the week. Friday was really dull, really, really dull. I think Congress was leaving town. I think the traders were leaving town. It was a very, very quiet day. That's how we ended on Friday. But we do have some lift under the market here this morning. There's also the continued stalemate between the Republicans and the Democrats on just about everything. But at the moment, the one that's on the front burner is another stimulus package. I just think we need to stop spending trillions and trillions at some point in time. Maybe we've already passed that point of no return, but man, it's getting ugly out there as far as debt goes. But in the meantime, they are moving closer. The Democrats say they'll come down a trillion if the Republicans will move up a trillion. And Trump will stop removing mailboxes if they'll give coronavirus PPP relief. So that's where it stands right now, at least the two sides talking. And Congress is being brought back today from their vacation to look into this whole post office mess. You know, I was reading about that new postmaster general. He was the CEO of XPO Logistics, which was an excellent trucking stock. I've owned XPO Logistics in the past, and apparently he's been on the job for several months trying to clean up what has long been a mishandled, badly run post office. I actually wrote an editorial about the post office many years ago. If the post office was a private business, if it was a UPS or a FedEx, I mean, the stock would be trading at like 1 cent or 2 cents, if that. And, man, I got hammered for that article by the Postmaster General came after me. And, in fact, I debated him on Fox News Channel or CNBC. I can't remember which. But he wasn't too happy with me talking about his post office that has been so mismanaged over the years. Well, we'll see where all that goes. Well, anyways, we're going to open with some pretty good gains here this morning. As we look across the pond, Europe up a little bit. Guess what's leading? The gold mining stocks. Why? News that Warren Buffett buying into Barrick Gold. Now, in my lifetime, I can't ever remember Warren Buffett buying into gold stocks. Nor can I remember him buying into technology stocks, but now Apple is a significant chunk. I want to say it's 42% of Berkshire Hathaway's Apple stock, and now he's adding a gold stock. What does Warren Buffett see out there on the horizon? He obviously sees higher gold prices. Then you kind of have to look underneath that. Why does he see higher gold prices? Well, usually gold is related to a falling dollar due to too much debt. Gold is related to inflation. Could Buffett be seeing inflation down the road, or does he just see a good old value in Barrick Gold? I got to believe that he sees higher gold prices down the road, which I also see. I was about 2 or 3 months in front of Buffett in buying some gold stocks. The pandemic has crushed the Japan economy. That should come as no surprise. Japan's down 1% after their numbers. China had a good evening of trading. It's up 2.34%. One of our holdings here today in that market is doing very well in the pre-market as they have beat earnings quite handily. The European market's very quiet, very, very quiet. Last night, London up 0.2%, Frankfurt basically flat, not much going on there. They're waiting for some kind of a stimulus package too, coming from our Congress, that would also help them. Demand for gold mining stocks has risen in lockstep with the ore rally. Of course, when the product you produce goes up in value, it's just like the oil stocks and the connection that they have to the price of light sweet crude. But cost of getting gold out of the ground are going to continue to rise. You know, it's not as easy. There's not the easy stuff floating around in the streams near San Francisco. That's been gone for a long, long time. Now it's a lot harder. The average cost to find an ounce of gold between 2009 and 2018 was $62 per ounce. $62 to find an ounce of gold. Well, with the trading at almost 2,000 now, that makes it pretty lucrative. But, however, the cost is rising. Per Refinitiv, the cost of mining an ounce of gold was $705 last year. $705 to mine an ounce of gold. But then again, it's trading at $2,000 per ounce. Well, there's a deal in the biotech market. It's a pretty big deal. You know, these large drug companies, this time it's Sanofi, they continue to reach down and buy some of these more promising biotechs that have something in the pipeline that looks very, very promising. And I continue to say that these large drug companies like Sanofi and AstraZeneca, Pfizer, etc., they're becoming biotech stocks as they buy up these smaller biotech companies. Today it's Sanofi buying up Principia, PRNB. I've been watching that Principia. It's been on a roll. It hit a new high last week at $90 per share. It's a $3 billion company out of the Bay Area in California. Well, it's being bought out this morning by Sanofi. So there you go. They're stocking their pipelines. Now, when we come back, the COVID, the impact that it's having on the way we transact business, the way we do business, where we do business from, who we do business with, the way we exercise, the way we do just about everything has been impacted. And now you've got a major company getting in on the craze of working out from home. Who is it, and will it be a threat to Peloton and others like Lululemon in that exercise space? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, one of the big changes we've seen in our habits is where we work out and how we work out and who we work out with. Most people working out by themselves these days. And, of course, Peloton came along at a good time with their connected bike rides. With one another. Peloton has been a big work from home and exercise from home winner. And of course, Lululemon getting in on the act. We wrote an article about Lulu, which also is planning to roll out fitness, connected fitness classes. And Lulu's been hitting new highs recently. Very good action in Lululemon. Well, now guess who's getting in on the act? No, it's not Amazon, although I'm sure they're next. Apple is getting in on the act. Bank of America says, don't worry, Peloton will be just fine, but Apple now wants to offer digital, virtual fitness classes through their app. Obviously have subscriptions to it. And of course, Apple stock, you know, it sagged a little bit there for a while, and it has taken off and closing in on new all-time highs again. Do you know that this week, very possible that Apple could hit $2 trillion in market capitalization? It wasn't that long ago that it crossed the $1 trillion mark. I remember when Apple crossed $1 trillion for the first time. And now just what, months later? Less than a year, that's for sure. You're looking at $1.97 trillion market cap, Apple, just within a wink of becoming the first $2 trillion. Oh, I want to say maybe Aramco, Saudi Arabia's oil company, is $2 trillion. But Apple closing in on that, and now they'll be offering fitness classes online. There's a new word going around, twindemic. Will we have a twindemic? That's one of the worries. As our economy is slowly coming back to life, people are back on the freeways, people are going back to the office very slowly. Maybe a few schools here and there. I know our Citadel here in South Carolina in Charleston, they're actually back in classes. That's a pretty big school. Others are virtual. Now the new word is twindemic. Worried that the upcoming flu season, they're hoping it will be very mild, but if we get COVID coming back with a vengeance during the flu season, on top of flu season, it could really stretch our hospitals, etc., and our supplies. So be listening for that word. Now, I look at a graph. There's a graph here that's related to retail sales that's also showing the number, the daily deaths. That, I mean, this is a nice one to look at, but you got to grapple with it. falling right now pretty considerably. Obviously, we peaked back in April. Daily deaths were running about 2,200 to 2,500. And then it fell all the way down to 750 per day. Of course, that's when we were locked inside the house. And then we had to start going back outside. And it's risen to about 1,300 per day. But that graph is heading down right now. So we'll continue to watch that, see which way. That's the number of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. daily. And hoping against a twindemic, which is a word to watch. Man, some IPOs here. Whew. On Friday, one of the, I think that's the IPO of the year right there, CureVac. CureVac. Well, you got to figure it's got to have something to do with vaccine. German biotech, CureVac, CVAC. Listen to this. Jumped out of the gate on its IPO. How much did it go up on Friday? 144%, 175%. It nearly tripled on its opening day. It traded 5.9 million shares. What's the draw? The big draw is its mRNA COVID-19 vaccine candidate. All right, there's another one to add to your list. A freshly minted IPO, CVAC. It's currently in phase one development. Top line data should be available next quarter. Earlier this week, CureVac tapped investors, including the German government and Glaxo, for $640 million to support its work against the coronavirus and other diseases. And then there was another IPO on Friday, Duck Creek Technologies. It was up 55% on Friday. Yes, there is some reminiscent of this current period of time in the market and the year 2000. Let's see, what else do we have going? Oh, what about that Russian vaccine? Let's not forget that. I've got this list of all the vaccine players. Of course, the one in Russia is not a publicly traded company. How many people did they test that vaccine on? 38 volunteers from the military. And volunteers are in quotation marks. Who wants to volunteer? Yeah, okay. A top member of Russia's Health Ministry Ethics Council, Professor Alexander Chuchulin, who's now probably in Siberia, has resigned over the quick review process for the world's first COVID-19 vaccine, dubbed Sputnik V, after the USSR's satellite program. Citing medicine guiding principles to do no harm, he tried to block the nod on safety grounds, accusing the two leading doctors of flouting medical ethics in the process. The data supporting the approval was generated from only 38 volunteers from the military. Well, I said to take that vaccine with a grain of salt. And, you know, I know the market's traded up thinking, hey, we've got something here. I wouldn't put too much weight on Russia having the vaccine. Novavax launches COVID-19 vaccine trial in South Africa. You know, they're doing these trials all over the world. I know Brazil is doing a big one for AstraZeneca. There's a big one going on here in the U.S. right now. 30,000, not 38 volunteers from the Army. 30,000 people is what we require, and that's being done by Moderna here in the U.S. Well, guess what word, what phrase is in the news today? When we come back, what shape has this recovery been? We're going to look at the recovery in the retail space. Consumer buying. Consumers are 80% of the economy. Is it an L-shaped recovery, a V-shaped recovery, a W-shaped recovery, X, Y, Z, whatever? Well, I made a prediction several months ago. Was I right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Was it a W? Is it an L? Is it a U? Is it a V? Give me a V. That's what I predicted back several months ago with an article in the Seeking Alpha. And now there is a lot of credence to that because we are seeing a V-shaped recovery in the retail sector. The July retail sales numbers from the Department of Commerce gave credence that a V-shaped recovery in the sector, well, that's that sector. That's the consumer sector. But that's a major part of our economy. A V-shaped recovery in the sector has happened. Now, the retail sector basically is divided into two channels. One is the online retail sector, ordering from your couch. And the other is the actual bricks and mortar going to the shopping mall. The biggest area that has come storming back since April, obviously, is online. However, we're going to get reports this week from Kohl's. We'll see how they are doing. We're going to get a report this week from Target. We'll see how they are doing. The stores seem pretty crowded to me, at least in this neck of the woods. The big players like Target and Walmart, etc. L Brands will also be reporting this week. So we'll see how the bricks and mortar, if they are part of the recovery. And I will just say this, too. I took grandkids to Chick-fil-A on Saturday, longest line I've ever seen. I mean, I remember during the pandemic, there was hardly anybody at Chick-fil-A. Imagine that. But those lines have come back to pre-COVID levels, I would say. Look at this, the Dow's down 5 right now. However, the NASDAQ, strong day, 72 points to the upside right now. NASDAQ's at 11,090 right now. Silver's up $1.54. I just wanted to get the read here on the S&P. It's up 10. 33.83. That's within 10 points of an all-time high on the S&P 500, which we may see this week. Okay, back to the V-shaped recovery. I want to give you even further hope and really downright optimism about what could be lying ahead. Now, I watch the other countries around the world. They're ahead of us in the pandemic. You take a look at South Korea, for instance. Take a look at some of the European countries. We're about anywhere from 1 to 3 months, depends on the country, behind them. Germany was hit very, very hard. Well, okay, why I am very encouraged by what I'm seeing in those countries is this is where we could be heading. And just looking at a chart of the average daily deaths, which is kind of a morbid chart to follow, but it's part of the job, that's not a good looking chart. If that chart was a stock, I would not be buying it. Now here's why I'm so optimistic here over the next several months. You know how many deaths Germany is averaging right now? Below 10 per day. COVID is almost non-existent as far as this. You look over in South Korea, they had one COVID-19 death. Now, they're basically doing the same thing we are. They're not doing anything radically different from what we are doing. COVID has a life of its own, and it has a cycle that it has to go through. Now, is it going to pick back up in the fall? Now, we're not down below 10 deaths per day. We're not at that number. But it looks to me like we're headed in that direction. And if we're just a couple months behind Germany, I would be pretty optimistic about that for the U.S. economy. U.S. consumer sentiment, where I'm still seeing the real weakness is in the travel, vacation, Normally, we're very much travel-oriented city here in Charleston. In fact, it's one of the top cities in America to come visit. Come visit. It's a great city. But I'm not seeing the hotels packed like they used to be, the downtown restaurant. There's where I see the real problem is tourism. But the locals seem to be going back to the stores, going back to the restaurants. A lot of the restaurants over where I live were packed over the weekend. And I would say that the vast majority of people in the supermarket are wearing masks. California continues to have big problems, but it's trending in the right direction. It's trending in the right direction. And, of course, the online stocks, the online real estate stocks, the Wayfairs, the Overstocks, those things are just hitting new highs on a daily basis. You know what else is hitting a new high? Domino's. They plan to go on a hiring blitz to meet growing demand. Domino's Pizza, DPZ, which was a major turnaround play under the previous CEO. Can you believe this stock is now closing in on $404 per share? They're looking to hire 20,000 new employees for corporate and franchise stores. The open spots include delivery experts, pizza makers, customer service representatives, managers, and assistant managers, 20,000 openings for jobs as Domino's passes $400 per share. Wedbush hikes price target for Tesla to $1,900. I think that's the highest. I don't think there's been another price target that high. Now, I saw an interesting article over the weekend. Of course, Tesla's at $1,700 right now, closing in on a new all-time high. In fact, it is hitting a new all-time high. That's a breakout on Tesla today. I read an interesting article, a big hedge fund manager recommending that GM, and I would say Ford for that matter, they should spin off their electric vehicle sections of their companies. Look at how, you know, you've got electric scooter makers in China, like NIU, that are roaring, the stocks, that is. You've got NIO, N-I-O, which is just a fraction of what GM has and Ford has in the way of electric vehicle assets going forward. That thing is rocketing higher. And people look at GM and Ford as boring, stodgy old growth stocks of yesteryear, still dependent upon the combustible engine. Yet their futures looking towards big electric offerings going forward. I think that's a very interesting concept. I think they'd be crazy not to separate out. That would breathe new life into those stocks. Separate out their electric vehicle. Ford Electric. GM Electric, I think that would bring a lot of value back to those stocks. Maybe they could make a run at Tesla, which has been running laps around them. Virgin Galactic, okay, the price, $225,000. 700 customers have submitted prepayment for flights aboard Spaceship 2. What happened to Spaceship 1? Is it still out there somewhere? $225,000 per ticket, a discount off its expected fare. The fare should be higher than that when they're actually ready to go. The maiden voyage traveling to the lower thermosphere, where occupants including Mr. Branson himself will experience several minutes of weightlessness. Yeah, you can float around, give each other high fives and knuckle bumps and things like this for only $225,000. We'll see, however. This is a stock, SPCE, that the Robin Hood crowd has been all over it, but they are burning through money like you can't believe. Okay, well, when we come back, we've got our featured stock of the day. As far as earnings season goes, we're pretty much at the end of it. We're going to get a few retailers this week. looking back, this earnings season came in much, much, much better than expected. And I think when you look over at Germany and South Korea having less than 10 deaths per day in the COVID, I think there's a lot to be optimistic about here over the next several months. The big wild card out there is November, obviously, the first Tuesday in November. So we'll be playing it a little bit cautiously, but there's definitely some opportunities in the market right now. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunnarsson. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, we're having a really good day here at our firm. We're up 1.2% overall, with the NASDAQ up just 0.8%, and the Dow flat. Okay, so we're very happy here. Hooting and hollering, the gold stocks doing very, very well today. Buffett lights up gold stocks will be the headline here tonight. We're also doing very well with a lot of our tech stocks here today. But the one I'm going to feature is, you know, you can say whatever you want to say about the large Chinese stocks. Okay? We know that there's a bigger population, and they have a faster growing economy than us. But there's also the trade war going back and forth. There's the Huawei situation. There's the TikTok situation. There's the spying. There's the big chill. There's the pandemic. Well, that all puts smoke in the air. But I look through the smoke and I look at earnings. I look at numbers. And, you know, you could also say, well, can you trust the numbers? Well, I think these big, large Chinese companies, They're going to have a deadline. They're going to have to meet our accounting standards, or they're going to be kicked out of the market. So I do own some very select Chinese stocks in my portfolios. I can't find anything better for these few positions that I own right now amongst the U.S. stocks. So I continue to hold and own these stocks, and one of the ones that I own is JD.com. JD.com is not a small company. JD is a $82 billion company that has close ties with Walmart and their online efforts here in the U.S. JD is also offers their own selection of products via JD.com and on mobile applications. But here's the number that stands out to me, jumps off the page. Over the last 5 years, their earnings have been growing at a rate of 90% per year. Now, you try to find an $82 billion company here in the U.S. that has been growing by 90% per year. And going forward, JD.com is expected to continue to grow by about 45% per year. You show me a company here in America that's $82 billion in market capitalization and says they'll expect it to grow by 45% per year. Well, you could say that they're making up the numbers. Well, you know, I mean, it's an $82 billion company. It's been a publicly traded company in the U.S. since 2014. You could also look at the Luckin Coffee and say, well, how do you know they're not just cooking the books? We've had companies in the U.S. cook the books. That's nothing new. That's nothing just that Chinese companies. There's been a handful of Chinese companies. But we've had our own here, like WorldCom and Enron, etc. JD has been around for 7 years now as a publicly traded company, and it's quadrupled since it went public in 2014. I currently own it. They reported earnings today. Sensational earnings report. Stock up 5%, 5.1% right now. It's a large holding at our firm. Not only do we own it in our premier growth portfolio because it's a large cap stock, we also own it in our ultra growth portfolio because it is an ultra grower. And if it paid any kind of a dividend, I'd own it in my dividend and growth portfolio. Now, the stock has been going sideways since June, but it's really had a sensational year. Over the last 12 months, JD.com has outperformed the market. Listen to this. JD is up 104% over the last 12 months. The market's up 16%. Over the last 3 months, JD is up 31%. The market's up 15%. Those are some very good numbers coming out of JD.com. And since going public, the average return to investors has been about 28%, while the market's been 10% per year, with no guarantees going forward. That's where we look to valuation. On my valuation numbers, I have a earnings going forward. I have $125 target price on JD. It's currently trading at $65. So that gives it almost 100% upside potential over the next 5 years. Underline the word potential. JD is currently ranked, well, it's ranked number 697 out of 5,311. But when I bought it, it was a lot higher than that. Its ranking has dropped a little bit because of its recent sideways performance. However, I think JD is looking at a potential new major uptrend after this earnings report. We'll see. It could fall right back into that sideways trend, or this could be the inertia that it's been waiting for. It needs to get through 69 to break out to new all-time highs. It's currently at 65. That's my featured stock of the day. We currently own it in both our premier growth and ultra growth. It's an ultra growth company that is in very much, it's a combination of Amazon, and it also builds out, you know, sites for e-commerce. All right. Well, you know what? We've been busy. We've been putting new money to work. Very careful. There's days when I look all day, I find nothing. And there's days that are more fruitful where I'll buy three or four. And sometimes it's stocks I already own, but new money coming in, I'm putting it to work in those stocks that I already own. I did find a new stock last week. I added one to the Ultra Growth portfolio. Check out the newsletter. See how we've been doing with our portfolios. Go to GundersonCapital.com. We got some volatility ahead. I see rain clouds on the horizon as we approach the election season. We're prepared either way. That's why we remain active, not passive. You can set up an appointment with one of my advisors here at Gunderson Capital by calling us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Don't get Cisco'd by the best. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.